Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. Noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul. TotallyIowa.com. Iowa Business Report is his weekly report down in Iowa. And, of course, he joins us from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo, where he brings us the Iowa Politics Report. Hi, Jeff. Do we have Jeff there? One second here. Just hold with us. We'll be there. And
good. There.
There we go. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Matt.
How are you?
Well, not as good as you, but again, I do my best. Hey, can I plug something very briefly? It's a charity thing. You're familiar, and the listeners are familiar, with all of the storm damage because of the derecho through the heart of Iowa.
Yes.
And so we are doing a quick T-shirt fundraiser to help people in rural areas. Areas like Cedar Rapids, Marshalltown, areas near where you live, that, you know, those are big areas that are getting a lot of attention. But the small towns up and down the line, not only do we have more than a 500,000 acres of corn flattened and unable to be harvested, but some of these smaller towns up and down the line, community centers, emergency buildings, et cetera, have been damaged. And so if people are kind enough to go to my radio station's website, which is KXEL.com,
all right,
and there's a link right there. $20, you can buy a T-shirt with a snarky slogan on it, and every nickel of the proceeds goes to rural derecho relief. Station doesn't get a bit of it. The slogan on the T-shirts is, Iowa, our hurricanes don't need water.
Wow, that is snarky.
Gee, I wonder how we came up with – who could have come up with a snarky – no, anyway. So if you get a chance, we've been tweeting about it, and we'd appreciate the help. If you're wondering what you can do and still be fashionably dressed. I mean, this is kind of like what you wear to work every day, these kinds of snarky T-shirts.
I got a brand. I got a style. Let's just put it that way. I will make sure I make a donation myself. KXEL.com, KXEL.com. Help out there. I wasn't necessarily going to talk about this, but I mean, this is the apprehension we have. We got Hurricane Sally slamming into Alabama and Mississippi.
Yeah.
Sounds like Pensacola, Florida, a good chunk of that's underwater right now.
You have
California, Oregon, and Washington on fire. And I don't know if you've seen the sunsets and sunrises in Iowa, but my gosh, it's definitely they're seeing the smoke here still. And yes. you have this. And how long ago was this storm? Was what, 2 months ago?
Just a month ago. Yeah, it was just 4 weeks ago.
And
so,
I guess the question, you know, is this a system where the government is overwhelmed, or is this a system where the government just doesn't have the funds to help the people, or is they just don't have the desire? Is it? It's good for a photo op. He loves when the farmers are cheering for him, but the minute he gets back on the plane, he doesn't really care at all about the people that are there.
Well, and the reality of the situation is the president is insignificant to some degree. I mean, the matter is I don't care that a president comes and there's hand-wringing and all of that. Where's the support? Where's the money? Where's the whatever? And so USDA has come through in a manner that those that I've talked to deem to be appropriate. But there is a magnitude factor here. I mean, this is the first time, I believe, in recorded history that we had, what, 5 named tropical systems in the Atlantic and the Gulf at one time.
Yeah.
You have not had a derecho with 140-mile-an-hour winds, which is what, Category 3, Category 4, if it were.
Category 4. Category 4.
Okay. That goes from South Dakota down to Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and then into Ohio, 700 and some miles. I mean, we've had derechos, we've had hurricanes, but we haven't had the scope of them. And then, of course, the fires. Oh, my goodness. Ugh. You know, so some of this is magnitude. There is absolutely no question. But this is where we have a broad concern. And I'm not suggesting anything political about somebody being better equipped or not, because, again, funding comes from Congress. The big message comes from the White House, and there could be an awful lot of improvement on all fronts. But the fact of the matter is, this all came at the time of COVID, right, on top of it. So you've already got a budget buster of federal relief necessary. It's necessary to bust the budget for this because there's nobody else who can print money other than the federal government. But you take the COVID economic impact. You then have all of the natural disasters. Oh, my goodness. And then feel free to be political and then say, and on top of it, you have a messenger who is not known for empathy.
Well, and maybe he shouldn't have taken emergency relief and moved it to a border wall. Just me speculating. Maybe he shouldn't have taken money from natural disaster relief funds and thrown it at a border wall, which will never be built. So, you know, it's apples, oranges. I will say this. If you make it a priority, it becomes a priority. And that's what we've seen with the president. And as much as you're right about a lot of things, I'm not going to disagree with anything you said. If the president was making this a priority, it'd be a priority. And it's just not. And so I think
No, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump on. But, you know, there is a desire among people who are on the ballot in November to get things done. And I'm not talking about the president.
Yes.
I'm talking about 435 members of the House of Representatives, all of whom are on the ballot. And I think you may have seen the reporting in Politico today that the strategy of the Democrats to this point, Speaker Pelosi, the strategy has been go big, go really, really big to show that this is something of magnitude. And also from a negotiation standpoint, let's face it, House Democrats passed a COVID relief bill that was $3 trillion. Then they said, OK, we'll negotiate. We'll go down to $2 trillion. You meet us in the middle. Well, a lot of the $3 trillion may have been fat, but that's what you do when you negotiate, right?
Yes.
The one side goes high. What did Mitch McConnell want to do? Half a trillion. OK, let's say that would have passed. Then you've got $3 trillion here. That's too big. Half trillion here. That's too small. OK, you know, Goldilocks, this is just right. And then we'll pass it. The problem is there are some Democrats, from what I see in this Politico reporting, who are nervous about election and a pox on all your houses. In other words, you could just say, fine, Trump won't move. Republicans won't move. We'll just clean your clocks in November. And there are some incumbents who are worried about that. And so now they are pressuring the speaker to say, how about we do one bill for paycheck protection? We'll do one bill for unemployment relief. We'll do one bill for state and local. And then call the Republicans bluff. And that's because if you have a $3 trillion bill, you've got the danger of the Republicans saying, oh, just, you know, big, fat, big government. But if you pass a series of very targeted spending measures, you're daring them to go along. Mm-hmm. And you look like the hero for saving the day. I mean, it's a very bold strategy that some are suggesting to the speaker.
Well, and from what I've understood, the holdup on the Republican side is that they want legal immunity for the meat processing plants. That they basically they want it's not enough that the states are not going to sue them. They don't want their employees to be able to sue them for sending them into a COVID stew and killing a few of their employees as well as the communities around them. And that seems to be the holdup right now is the Republicans are demanding that is the first thing that gets passed is legal immunity for slaughterhouses and processing facilities. And the Democrats, to their credit, are holding firm and saying, OK, let's get the paycheck stuff done. Let's get some more, small business relief. And so it will be interesting where it comes out. I will say, if I can step back for a second here, because I talked before you came on the air about the latest ABC Washington Post poll. Minnesota is a 16-point likely voter advantage now for Biden. That's a pretty big amount. But it's not the only state. I mean, since the RNC, since Trump has really taken this more seriously, he's actually fallen behind in most states, especially the states that are going to matter. Minnesota, there's been with the polling averages, this is off of 538, a 14.8 difference. Wisconsin's 10 points he lost to Biden in that same time. Michigan, 5.7. North Carolina, 3.9. North Carolina is now a favorite that the Democrats are going to win. Nevada, 3.5. Pennsylvania, 2.4. Even a place like Ohio, which is still a Trump win, it's still Biden has done better. But it's Arizona, which 538 points out and specifically says if Trump carries Arizona, he wins the election 59% of the time, according to our forecast. But if Biden wins Arizona, Trump has less than a 7% chance of winning overall. Right now, Arizona is showing up in poll numbers at 67.6% likelihood that Biden will win. That's a 12-point difference in 1 month. You and I have not talked necessarily about individual state races, but let's talk for briefly here. The unbelievable mistake that the Republicans made with McSally as the Senate candidate, because let's face it, it's not Trump that's driving these numbers down for the Republicans in the state. It's that Senate race.
Well, absolutely right. Now, here's what is the textbook definition of not a genius move. You have a candidate.
There's a picture of me.
In a T-shirt. See? It's the brand. With food from the
I am going to get a T-shirt that says textbook definition of not a brilliant move.
Now, I'd buy that T-shirt.
Maybe we'll have to do another fundraiser. We'll get yours out first. Oh, anyway, go ahead, please.
Yeah, but you'd make more on yours. No, the concept of here is a person who's running for U.S. Senate in a special election. She loses. So what do? You appoint her to the next vacancy.
God, that was dumb.
With the thought being, well, she'll have the power of incumbency then. She was already a member of Congress, right? With that race for the U.S. Senate, the actual election, that was two members of Congress. So you had the clear choice. And you already knew, did you not, that Mark Kelly was going to run? I mean, I don't think that was a well-kept secret.
And it should be noted, as you bring that up, Mark Kelly is an exceptional Democratic candidate. As a matter of fact, I'm hard really pressed nationwide for a Senate challenger to have someone – the DFL, I think – or the Democrats, I should say, have truly a great candidate in Kelly there.
Well, and it's not – he's a great human being. It's not just he's a great Democrat, a great candidate. He's a great human being, and he – chose to be a Democrat, and there are many people who are going to ignore party label and vote for him. So, yes, this was uphill to begin with. And so then you, again, textbook definition of not a very brilliant move. Okay, look at some other things that we've seen. And you mentioned Minnesota and Wisconsin, strong streak of polls for Biden in the past week. And you've seen Michigan the same way, where Trump was down, got a very little bit of a convention bump. And then it's just kind of bumped along at around a 10-point deficit in each of those states. There are some people suggesting that there are some new polls in Iowa coming out in the next week that will show the president is down. Interesting, the AARP sanctioned poll that was released this week showed U.S. Senator Joni Ernst in Iowa up above the margin of error and Trump ahead of Biden but within the margin of error. And that was kind of consistent with a Monmouth poll earlier, but – there's just this erosion to where now you're seeing some models. You probably saw this on the Twitter machine today. One of the models saying 269 to 269 electoral college, the absolute nightmare scenario. And that shows Iowa going Democrat for president, which is entirely, that's no stretch.
Well, and I should mention before, as we say that, I mean, the 538 models have Biden favored, as I think he's, was it 69% of the scenarios they've come across where there's a viable chance. I mean, Idaho doesn't change. I mean, because that's going to be always go Republican. In the same sense as Hawaii doesn't change, that's always going to go Democrat. So the question here is whether or not, the other states that could possibly go one way or the other will change. And their scenario shows a 70% chance there. But, it's interesting this is happening now. You have told me over the years that when things start going south, especially in September, that it's almost impossible to pull out of the nosedive. Are we seeing – a 16-point lead in Minnesota, he's lost 12 points in the last month, and that was with the RNC, mind you, in there. He's lost 12 points in Arizona. Are we starting to see a nosedive here on the Trump campaign?
And it's not the timing is very interesting, he stammered to say. The timing is interesting because – the election day is November 3rd. I know in my state, early voting as an absentee voting can start October 3rd. When does it start in Minnesota, right? I mean, all of these states where pretty soon the window is opening. It used to be that you'd want to really come up to a crescendo 2 weeks before the election or the weekend before the election. Remember in George W. Bush's election in 2000, wasn't the word about his drunken driving, didn't that come out the weekend before Election Day? Well, if it had come out 3 weeks before, it might have actually made a difference because, again, people are voting certainly now earlier and earlier. And in an age of COVID, they're voting earlier and earlier. So you're going to have people watching this Trump decline as they're going to start filling out ballots to get it over with. Because now they're worried about the Postal Service, which they shouldn't be. But, people are voting earlier and earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about – and this is the thing. If this president gets a sense and actually believes that the sand is shifting underneath him at the time of the first debate, that's going to be terribly interesting. Because no less a figure than Bill O'Reilly, who is solidly in the Trump camp, literally told me in an interview, we did an interview about his new book of the Killing series, had nothing to do with politics, but we talked about politics. And he said, the whole election's going to turn on the first debate. And I think there's an awful lot to that. The Trump people have set Biden up to be a guy who can't even, feed himself his tapioca in the afternoon. And the reality of the situation is if he comes across as anything other than a drooling fool, it's a win for Biden. And they set that up. The Republicans set that up.
That's not the Democrats. Done that. Well, absolutely, 100%. We got to get this break in. Let's take a break. Come on back. I got to talk about that thing with ABC last night as well. 952-946-6205. It's the Jeff Stein interview for the weekly visit. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Joe Biden debates the big orange buffoon coming up on Tuesday, September 29th, and you have a chance to watch it with us and other AM 950 listeners at Crooner's Supper Club. Crooner's has an outdoor stage with a large TV screen and great sound. They've been doing socially distanced concerts all summer and work hard to make sure everyone is safe. So come watch the debate with us and hear Trump make cutting-edge arguments like this.
This is a tough hurricane. One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
Doors open at 7:30 with the debate beginning at 8. Tickets are $25 and include one complimentary drink and one seat at a two-person socially distanced table. Space is very limited, though, because of safety, and when tickets are gone, there will not be more available. Tickets are pre-sale only at am950radio.com. Again, that's AM950's Debate Watch Party, Tuesday, September 29th at Crooner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65. Tickets and details at am950radio.com.
God bless Minneapolis and God bless the United States.
AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us with his usual weekly visit. Jeff, speaking of bad strategies, you have Rana Romney, the head of the RNC. She comes on out and makes the comment, why didn't Joe Biden take care of coronavirus when he was the vice president? Okay. Last night, yeah. Trump, during the ABC fiasco, why he even did that, I have no idea. But he looked horrible when he came off of it. But he makes the comment, why didn't Joe Biden put in a nationwide face mandate? And you wonder just – you're like – now, don't get me wrong. I know the dyed-in-the-wool Trump people are like, yeah, why didn't he? But at the same time, for anyone that has – wait a minute here. He wasn't president. If this whole argument of that it's Biden's fault because Biden is the actual president, that things are so bad in America right now, he's basically trying to Jedi mind trick people into saying, oh, this is really Biden's first term. It's not my first term. That's what I think.
Well, it's interesting. Biden tweeted last night, or whoever on his behalf tweeted, just to be clear, I am not the president. And then it said, with your support on November 3rd, I will be. And then there was a fundraising link, which I thought was tremendous, right? If you're going to do that. Why does Trump do that? Hubris, right? He figures I can outdo Stephanopoulos. I can outdo everything. It's a win-win because if I come across looking good, then I win. And if I come across looking bad, then it's fake news. It was all a bunch of plants. It was et cetera, et cetera. There's no purpose in doing it except I suppose his base feels that he's, all fired up. But he has become the gaffe machine, mm-hmm. not Joe Biden.
Well, but is it – do you think that there's an element of this that they're trying to convince people, hey, this is really Biden's America. It's not mine America, so vote for me and, you'll avoid another term of this. That's what you seem to think with these ads about the violence and stuff going on. They're trying to imply that this is all Biden's fault.
Well, what they're saying is if, Democrats are running all of these cities – and Joe Biden's a Democrat, and that's what you're going to get more of if you elect more Democrats. I mean, it's a very, fundamental straight line that may not be – it's not like you're connecting the dots, but that's the approach of it. And sure, if we, you know, everything bad in the world is only going to get worse under Joe Biden. Remember how everything was before COVID? It was, you know, unicorns and rainbows and sunshine and all that. That's what they're hoping, yeah, is that they can say everything bad is Biden. The old days a year ago, everything good Trump.
KXEL.com. That's where you'll find the fundraising T-shirt. That's where you want to go find that. Jeff Stein joins us on Wednesday. We'll spotlight this interview. Jeff, thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Till then, see ya.